like 85% of what X was.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, 100, 110% of what they used to be. They're a tick down. And now they're going to be even a tick down from that. And you're bringing somebody in and you're getting rid of stuff. You don't have a whole lot right now. I mean, you're when you were fully together this year, you were somewhere between 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Yeah.
Sometimes 11, right? Like, that's where you were this year. So you add Paul George, but you're giving up a lot. And then you're,
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think you're making up the gap, well, I guess is where I'm saying.
Yeah, let's go to state of, let's go to Coach Vallejo.
To do the legal.
Let's go to Coach Vallejo. We'll get to the legal. Coach, he wants to talk about the state of the Golden State Warriors. What up, Coach?
Hey, good morning, guys. And this is kind of my year-end take on the Warriors. And kind of, I got three bullet points. And Shasky actually hit on one, that the Warriors are closer to the bottom of the league than the top. They're in the bottom third right now.
Exactly.
And at their current pace, they're not going to get any better. However, I think what could help the Warriors is, even if they somewhat run back the same team, to promote the young players. Let the young players start. I would bring Draymond and Klay both off the bench, okay? Now, they could play 25, 30 minutes, but I would not have them in my starting lineup. The league is younger, faster, and more athletic, as you both have said. Now, I remember, Bonte, you once said, and, you know, you and I, we agree on a lot of things, but the starter thing, you know, it actually means a lot more to athletes than what you realize, because ever since you're in Little League, it's something about hearing your name in that starting lineup, okay? And no coach wants any player that doesn't desire to be a starter. I mean, every middle reliever in baseball thinks he should be a starter or the closer. So you want players that want to be a starter. I never want a player that wants to accept sitting on the bench. And lastly, I'm disappointed in Steve Kerr, because when it ever comes to Kuminga, it's what Kuminga doesn't do. And I wish he would treat Kuminga the way he treats other people. He treats Trace, what Trace brings to the game, what Paz brings to the game. With Kuminga, he needs to improve on this. He needs to do that. Kuminga was hardly the problem with the Warriors this year. The problem was Draymond starting, number one. He was the biggest problem of the team. Steph and all those turnovers, as great as Steph is, he was a problem for the team. Kuminga wasn't a problem, and I'm tired of Kuminga and Moody being the whipping boys of the Golden State Warriors, you know. And so I'd like to hear your comments, guys, and thanks for listening to me.
Anytime, Coach. Now, by the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HG1 San Francisco. Don't forget, you can also watch us every day on our YouTube and Twitch streams. So I got to search 95.7 The Game. Be sure to like and subscribe to the channel while you are there. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal First Class Money Market today. You can now download the Odyssey app directly from our YouTube and Twitch pages, as we have added the QR code on both pages. And shout out to the Xfinity Mobile text line. All right, when it comes to starting and benching, sure, players care. Sure, players care. But if you're winning, they care less and less and less, because they know they're going to get minutes. Now, in terms of Kuminga and Moody, I do think he's right on that. We always hear about what they can't do. Well, what can they do? I know Kuminga can get to the free throw line. I know Kuminga can hit that 10-foot mini. I know Kuminga is the most athletic player on his basketball team.
Yeah, but
I know he's raw and scratching the surface, but coach is right on that. We never highlight what they do well.
Because I think that the infrastructure of the organization, there's a hierarchy. I mean, you've used this analogy over and over. At the other place, you were considered a board op, and they couldn't get it out of their head that you could be on air. And I think that the Warriors at times struggle with that guy's a star. He'll always be a star. You're a young player. You're always going to be a young player. And I'm not saying that things can't change. It's just they've been reluctant to elevate their own.
But
like promoting from within is something that a lot of companies have a difficult time with.
I hear you. But to Coach's point, they prop up Pods and TJD, and they deserve credit.
That I don't understand.
Kuminga and Moody have never got that type of love. It feels like they never get that type of love. Pods could do no wrong.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
Pods could do no wrong.
That I don't have an answer for.
And why do you think that is? I have no idea. I have no idea why. I don't know how these things work. I don't know where these narratives get created from. I really don't.
No.
But I was like, let's uplift our young players. That's been my biggest issue with the Warriors the last couple of years. We know about our core three. They're great. They're champions. It all begins with them and it ends with them. But these youngsters can help extend careers. Kuminga, like James Worthy, helped extend the career of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Magic Johnson. I know these are great players. I'm just throwing examples out there.
I know.
Young players. Yeah. Young players.
The number these two guys, overall pick.
Yeah, but Kuminga's the number seven overall pick.
Yeah, but he wasn't as polished as James Worthy.
But you know, and that he's team the same pick as Stephen Curry.
I know, but
he's a lottery pick. We're talking about Pods as a 19th pick. All I'm saying is they don't prop these guys up, and these young guys can help extend your career. That's why Jordan Poole is here.
I know, but
he's here to extend your career.
Feel like, at least with Moody and Kuminga, there's a pecking order, and it does feel like they're always going to be viewed as like the little brothers on the hierarchy chain.
But they get less loved than Pods and TJD. And they're rookies.
I can't explain the Pods.
These guys have been here for 3 years.
I think TJD's different because he plays a position that there's not a lot of depth at. Where like Looney is egoless, you know. I think the two and the three, they were financially committed severely to Clay and Wiggins, on top of feeling the debt of what they did during championship runs. So I think that those situations were different. Now, Pod starting over Clay, I don't have an answer for that.
I'm just saying, Pod's got a lot. Like, he got a lot of love, right?
We just always highlight
what Kuminga and Moody, what they don't do, and we don't highlight what they do do. And we highlight the hell out of TJD, and I love Trace. Trace is my guy. They deserve all the credit. And I'm not trying to say, hey, Trace and Pods don't deserve this. But you rarely hear what they don't do well, as opposed to Kuminga and Moody. And there's other situations, not just James Worthy. I was just going back to story guys.
Yeah, I know.
But Kawhi Leonard. Leonard's a great example.
Yeah,
San Antonio. Help Kobe Bryant help extend a career with all those great Laker teams, being a young Kobe. Coming straight out of high school. Eddie Jones, got rid of Eddie Jones.
I freaking loved him so much.
But that's the problem. That's the problem with these young guys. You get them in there, they can help extend Draymond, Clay, and Steph.
That's the perplexing thing, is that I don't know what the reasoning is.
I don't know.
I think most people don't. But let's also be honest here.
But like, one thing I am knowing right now is that we may be closer to trading away a Stephen Curry than building a contender around Stephen Curry.
Yeah, and
you may be closer to being on the bottom of the Western Conference.
But that's where you might have to take a step back to take a step forward.
And this is
the hard part.
That's the reality.
People aren't ready to take any steps back. They think that you should always plow forward. And playing Moody and Kuminga heavy minutes, you are essentially going to run the risk at the beginning of the year where you build a big deficit in the win-loss record.
Fonte, make sure you don't miss that break, bro.
All right, Coach Hall coming up on the other side. Coach Hall, 888-957-9570, if you want to chime in on this conversation. Are the Warriors farther away from a championship being a championship contender, or are the Warriors closer to trading away Stephen Curry than building a contender around him? What do you think as you watch the playoffs? The West is deep. I don't know what the Warriors are going to do here. Let's talk about it, though. 888-957-9570 is a number that will be brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Jassy, I'm just a man.
Now back to the morning roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky. Take it away, Bonte.
Yeah, I know you're big time.
Man, 7:18 already. This morning's flying by. As we're talking playoffs, we get to the Giants at some point. Big win for them against the Mets. Logan Webb today, as he continues his Cy Young Award journey. He's been the best pitcher in the National League to start the season. But Keaton Wynn, congrats to him. He needs a lot more love. Keaton Wynn has been pitching well for the Giants. And if he's your number five starter, I'm not mad at that. He's the perfect fifth starter. Hell, he could be elevated to fourth. Right now, he's throwing the ball well. Harrison's getting his game right. Just got to fix Blake Snell, but the Giants get a big win yesterday. They're right in the race. They're two games back at the Dodgers. They're fine. They're fine in the NOS. So no reason to panic about the Giants right now.
Yeah, I like where the Giants are at right now. Just in general, I feel like the team is coming around. It's a big series for them because the Mets started off in a big hole, then they went on a little run. And the Giants just need to stabilize things. You know, during this long home stretch, you've already played a lot of games against the NL West. So this is an opportunity to get fat and happy off some of the other teams.
Yeah.
I got a couple shout outs. Do you mind if we do this before we get back into the Warriors?
Sure. Go ahead.
First one. Billy and the guys over at Atco Pest Control had a golf tournament yesterday that I participated in. I'm not sure if you saw it on the 95.7 The Game website, but or the, I guess, Twitter page. Who does websites these days? I mean, Jesus. Instagram, Guru hitting the ceremonial tee shot.
He's addressing the ball. He takes a swing. I don't see what happened. We're on the delay. Oh. Oh, boy.
Couple things. First and foremost.
Oh.
I get that Guru is the rat, a.k.a. rat on the table, pest control guy. Steiny, put your money where your mouth is. Why aren't you doing it, too? Like, well, why is Goo being the one who has to walk the plank? What's going on here? Aren't you guys boys?
Recovering from the hip injury, the surgery. Why are you looking at me like that?
What hip?
Yeah, hip surgery.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Steiny did a few months back.
Oh.
Now, he may or may not be practicing and golfing elsewhere.
Interesting. Well, I thought, like, why didn't Steiny hit a golf shot? I mean, like, it's just one shot. Who cares where it goes? I hit a zillion balls out of bounds yesterday, over and over and over and over again. Played with the boss, the big boss man, Ethan. I played with Kieran's husband, some of the people here at the station. We had a really good time. I had never played that course, Stone Tree, and I got a really bad sunburn on my legs, even though I put a lot of sunscreen on. But it was a great day. So shout out Billy at Atco Pest Control and all the people out there. It was really cool. You know who I did see out there?
Who's that?
Stretch Lab.
Oh, they were out there?
They were out there.
Really?
And we get to the one tee, and you know, like, you're in a scramble, so it can get slow. But when it's your time to hit, you got to hit. Who do you think got a stretch from our crew?
Matt Higgins.
Yes. How did you know?
Because why wouldn't you take advantage of that? But if I got to hit the Stretch Lab now, I gotta make an appointment for this week. Got to go see a chiropractor, too. Those stretches help. Oh, man, you start feeling your hips pop, shoulders pop, back pop. Oh, so good.
His whole body was sore yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting up there. Let's get up there.
Crack, crack, crack. Good time, though. I had a great time. Stone Tree, beautiful course. Little narrow.
Well, Zucci Man is saying that Steiny played golf the day before.
Really?
Interesting.
You've never played golf with Steiny, huh?
No.
That surprises me.
I've seen him from, like, five holes over. I've never played with him.
How come?
I don't know. He's more of an East Bay golfer, and he, like, plans his out, and my timing doesn't work with his planning, and so, you know, whatever. I'm a first thing in the morning golfer. I got to get it in and get it out and get back to the house.
Ooh.
He's a, like, let's go in the afternoon and then have some cocktails and linger and hang, and, you know, we're just two different types of golfers.
This is just top 12, Lubman. Top 12. I don't see the dubs on this list here.
One more shout out while you're filibustering over there.
Go ahead. Shout out everybody. Go ahead. Make it the shout out.
You ready to load on me?
Well, my boy Brent wanted me to tell you that baby LJ has spent more time in the Fillmore than Bonte Hill over the last decade because we've been at Kimball Park left and right every single week for baseball. And last week, I told you.
LJ's been in the film room, you said?
No, or the Fillmore.
Oh, Fillmore. He has been. I haven't been in the bow in a long time.
Yeah.
Been a long time. Trust me, anybody, and I say this with all due respect, everybody who's moved out the hood, who's moved out the ghetto, has no word I'm looking for. We don't really move back. We move out so we can stay out.
Doug, we're playing on the baseball diamond at
Kimball. I hear it, but still, I grew up there. I don't need to see Kimball no more.
So we're playing Cathedral last week. Dave Fleming's son was on the diamond, and I'm walking to the restrooms, and I ran into this guy, Damian Crosby. Great guy. I didn't know him, but local city boy. I believe his wife went to SH, and he went to SI, or maybe it was vice versa, and I apologize if I'm messing that up. But he says, and this is his exact words, he texted me, I really appreciate you taking the time out to coach and all this stuff. I know how much this city means to you, and you give back a ton. You're a real one. Tell Bonte the same. We love listening to your show. We're generally in the car every single morning. I would love if you could shout out my son Jackson every day. It would make his year. He wants to call in one day, and he wants to know if we want to hoop, Bonte, at San Quentin. He goes out there. He brings a crew to go hoop with some of the prisoners out there. It would mean a lot to them. And I told him, yeah, I would love to do that. He's going to send us some forms. They got an over 40 squad. Told them I'd sub in for a couple, hurt myself, and sub myself right back on out. But I just want to shout out Damien. He said some really, really, really nice things about us in the show, and his boys listen every single day. His youngest son is going to go to Reardon this year. He's more of a hooper. He's becoming more of a baseball player. Kid could play baseball. Yeah. I mean, his kid made plays out in center field. So shout out Damien. He said some really lovely things that hit me in my soul.
There you go. Shout out Damien. A little shameless shout outs early this week.
Yeah, I had to get it in.
Torres 707, J Torres 707. Ponte sounds like Uncle Elroy from Next Friday. But they got the big house and moved to Rancho Cucamonga. Yeah, we're not moving back to the hood, baby. We've been there, done that.
Yeah, I know you're big time.
No, it's not about being big time. You know, everybody, I'm just well-rounded. Why do you think every rapper's making millions of dollars a day going to live in the hood? No, not doing that. Get the hell out. Well, we're going to help the hood. We're going to do what we can to uplift the hood, but we're going to do it from afar. I'm not living there no more, man. I love Fillmore. Boy, some hard days out there, man. Some long days. Let's go to Coach Hall in San Diego. Coach Hall, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What up, Coach?
I wanted to chime in on this conversation. I think Paul George would definitely be a plug-in piece. I think he's an upgrade from Wiggins, and you know, maybe a notch and a half below KD, because this season showed me that we just had too many unproductive players on a nightly basis. Like, think about how much of a struggle it was to find another 20-point scorer until Kuminga came on, and I think Kuminga, it would unlock Kuminga having Paul George. You know, like, that's the young guy's favorite player. Like, it's like looking in the mirror. He's long, you know what I'm saying? He could D up. He got a smooth J. So I think if you do that and look at, like, a player like Kai Jones, who's trying to get his life, you know, seem like he got it together now. He's 7 feet. He's young, you know what I'm saying? And veterans might want to come and play with us. And I think that could be a move that could, you know, maybe get us in the top four, but also set up Kuminga.
Warrior fans, and thanks for the call, Coach Hall. Are the Warriors a Paul George away from being back in championship contention? I don't believe they are. Not with just Paul George. And how do you get Paul George? Who's moving? Who's going? Who's coming? I don't know.
Is that big enough of a swing to close the gap?
No. Not in my opinion.
Okay.
Not in my opinion.
What do you think the general consensus is, though?
I actually like Paul George. Yeah. He's like 34 years old, though. He's sneakily old.
Do you think Warrior fans think that that's a big enough swing?
I don't know.
To close the gap?
I would love to hear from Warrior fans on that. I haven't really tapped in on social media when it comes to Warrior fans and what they do want. I just kind of just been on social media just to talk about the playoffs. Just like enjoy basketball. Just try to be positive. But I don't know. I don't know if Warrior fans think that Paul George is the answer to closing the gap to get back to championship contention. Paul George, let's see.
He's an upgrade over Wiggins.
He is. He's 6'8", 220. Obviously, he averaged 22.5, 5-3 this year. He's 33 years old. He'll be 34 by the time next season rolls around. He turns 34 May 2nd. I don't know. I don't know. I'll
take him over Wiggins. I come back to the same.
But how are you getting Paul George?
Well, that's the question. You know, what are you giving up? You know, and then what other moves are you going to make? Because again, you need to make other moves.
You need to make more.
I think Warrior fans think it's like, oh, just swap Wiggins out. You know, make a slight upgrade, and you'll close the gap. I don't subscribe to that.
41% from three, 47% from the floor. 90% for the free throws, Paul George. He had a very solid season, played 74 games this year. So the raw data looks good for Paul George. It does. It looks really, really good. I don't know if that's enough. Do Warrior fans think that's enough? 888-957-9570. Again, we're going to have Scott Osler on at 9 o'clock. Scott Osler, 9 o'clock, because he wrote an article in the Chronicle. Basically applies something we were talking about on our show call here as I pull it up. Here it is. The headline is, why the Warriors need to consider the unthinkable, trading Stephen Curry. Do the Warriors need to consider trading Stephen Curry? Warrior fans, when you look at the landscape of the Golden State Warriors. Now, I don't mind running it back in this sense. Not running it back with the entire team. I think there needs to be changes. You can't finish in 10th place, losing a play-in game, and run back the same squad and say, well, talking about missing 17 games, that's going to make it up. No. You're a year older. Teams are going to get better. Minnesota will be better. OKC will be better. All right? San Antonio will be better. John Morant's coming back from Memphis. Don't forget, they're the number two seed in the Western Conference in back-to-back seasons. All right? They will be better. Houston will be better. Portland, laugh if you want to, they will be better. How do the Warriors get better? They're going to be less athletic. They're already at an athletic disadvantage this season. So is it just playing Steph and starting Moody and Kuminga and see what you got there and then push it off the rebuild for another season? Do you want to go through that? Or do you want substantial changes now? Because that's what we're facing here. Now, I do believe the Warriors are closer to the bottom of the West than they are to the top of the West. I truly believe that. Especially after watching the first weekend of the playoffs, just thinking, boy. Like everybody's saying, oh man, we could have beat OKC. You can't. New Orleans has guys who could defend at the point of attack. On the wings. The Warriors don't have enough of that.
I mean, we saw the Warriors versus New Orleans, and then New Orleans blitzkrieged them. Did they not?
They did.
It was basically a second quarter, and then the fourth quarter was all Pelicans.
What do you do? Our poll question today. Are the Warriors closer to contending with Stephen Curry or trading Stephen Curry? And 72% of the vote says they're closer to contending with Steph.
Ugh. That feels like fool's gold.
Well, that's how I am, though. Listen, we talk about trading Steph, which I don't feel comfortable talking about. Because we're not talking about that. We're just basically discussing whether or not they're closer to being a contender with Stephen Curry. But as he's 36 years old, and as we're hitting the last chapter of this run for the Golden State Warriors, and right now we're sitting at home watching the playoffs and not actually participating in the playoffs, this is the conversation I was scared to have. But this is the conversation that's been looming for a year and a half now.
I got a text message that I think is relevant to this conversation. I'm never trading Curry. I'd rather swing big, give us one more Curry playoff moment for the last chapter of his career, even if it isn't enough for us to be a true contender. For example, last year, Game 7 against Sac was a great moment, even though it was round one. I think a lot of fans feel that way.
Mm.
And as much as I hear him on that, I actually am probably going to go, and this is the unpopular thing. I'm not saying you trade Steph Curry, but to me, they need to make a variety of moves, and I think they need to bottom out their roster financially, and they need to hollow this thing out. And what I would start with is either I'm allowing Klay Thompson to walk this year, but I think Steph can stay, but I think you need to move the two other guys. I think they need to figure out a way to either allow them to leave, move Draymond. The Draymond contract just put them up against it. And I think that we are chasing this false equivalency and this false hope of trying to be a contender. And the reality is your quickest path to contending is to bottom out just a little.
It is. Now, here's the other flip side, though. It's easier said than done. We're talking about the best player in franchise history. We're talking about a guy that the minute you move him, if you do move him, business for the Golden State Warriors. Now, they'll still have concerts. They'll still have comedy acts.
Oh, there's a huge financial blow.
But the financial blow, not humongous. Having Stephen Curry, the season ticket holders, the merchandise, the jersey sales, the ratings on television, the national television games, the gates. You're losing a lot with Stephen Curry. He means more to basketball. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about an iconic global figure in Steph. And so part of me, and this is against my whole philosophy in sports, pro sports, and how you run a team and business or whatnot, but I am leaning towards like just riding it out with Steph, no matter how bad it looks.
Yeah, no, but over the end. So you're saying just continue to throw hundreds of millions of dollars away in luxury tax money.
You got to slash payroll somehow.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
you got
to
slash payroll.
You're kind of stuck in
because if you slash payroll, you're not going to be a contender. The only way for this team to be a contender is to have this blow to payroll right now. It's the position they're in.
When's the inflection point for Steph feeling frustrated though? Right. Like you're slashing payroll.
That's what I'm saying.
You're slashing payroll. You get what I'm going? But here's what I would say to Steph. How many other teams can even afford $200 million in luxury tax bills?
Not many.
What we're doing is very unprecedented for you, and we've done it for a while.
But if a team feels like they're in championship contention, they'll take the blow for a year. They'll take the blow and then blow it all up. They'll have no problem doing that. If you're the Warriors and you got that most iconic figure in your franchise.
But what about the
number 30. And so I think a lot of fans, I'll be interested. Would you rather ride down the ship, ride with Stephen Curry through this thing out, and it may be some dark days, or would you actually consider being okay with trading him? I think this is difficult for a lot of fans.
So let me
ask
you this.
It's difficult for me.
Well, no one wants to trade him. Let's operate on that. Like, it's like Bonds at the end. No one wanted to trade Bonds. You're not getting rid of Bonds. And Curry is infinitely more beloved just universally than Barry Bonds, right? But you put him in the same category in terms of excellence, right? Is the relationship between Steph and the organization, i.e. Joe Lacob, have they built up enough goodwill over the last 6, 7, 8 years? Like, Steph, we've done right by you at every single turn. We understand your career is only so long, and you have to maximize yourself, and you have your own prerogatives. Haven't I done right by you at every turn? Haven't I kept every guy that you've wanted? Come with us down this journey for a year or two. And if after a year or two, something isn't to your liking, and it really still is extremely bleak, and we're showing zero hope, then we can cross that bridge.
What if Steph says, I want to stay no matter what?
Yeah, if he says I want to stay no matter what, to me, then answer solved. Then I would go all in on the rebuild immediately. That's my preference, is to go all in on the rebuild if that, you know, Zion deal doesn't materialize.
That might be it.
Because right now they don't have a lot of assets. And right now they don't have a lot of runway for young players to come in and actually do something. They don't have draft picks.
See, I think a lot of Warrior fans.
They don't have financial flexibility.
See, I think a lot of Warrior fans
aren't going to agree
myself,
with me. Yeah,
like myself, I'm just going to ride with Steph. I got to keep this guy in a Warrior uniform.
Well,
I know
course.
It's sacrilegious, but like Bonds, the last few years of Bonds was ugly.
Yeah, but it led you to the water of Tim Lincecum.
Exactly. So that's why I'm rolling with Steph, where I'm like, look, man, I'd rather bottom out with Steph and Curry. He may not like it, but I had a hard time. Like, this is the thing, too. If you trade Stephen Curry, there's a segment of fans that will never, ever forgive Joe Lacob for that. He will get heat no matter what. Unless, of course, they win a championship and it leaves the, but they may be far away from a championship. You trade Stephen Curry, your Q rating goes all the way down.
For sure.
And everybody's going to say, Steph helped build that Chase Center.
Of course.
Steph did this.
Well, they're
going to
say that no matter what.
No matter what. So, but Joe Lacob, this is a tough situation for Joe Lacob and Dunleavy. Because your name's on this, if you have to even entertain this conversation. And I don't think they're entertaining it right now, but Scott Oster is going to join us at 9 o'clock because he wrote the article about it. And we're actually discussing this on the show call because, as I'm watching the Western Conference, you guys know I love me some basketball. I'm not going to lie. Last night it was tough to watch the Giants because those games were electric. Ernie Johnson came on Inside the NBA, said it's the most riveting doubleheader he's ever been part of at TNT. He doesn't think they've had a doubleheader like that. Both games going down to the wire like that with those crowds, mm-hmm. those fan bases mm-hmm. going crazy, and the Laker brand, the Sixers, the Knicks. What a day for the NBA. But boy, I'm watching the Warriors and I'm thinking about this team and what we watched. Just think about the games. They struggled with Detroit.
They lost to the Spurs.
There are times they were down to the Portland Trailblazers. That's the Kuminga game where he was out of the rotation. They had to say, hey, Kuminga, come save us. And he saved the Warriors. And they won that basketball game. They struggled with some of the, but they were up 5 at the half against Charlotte, for crying out loud. I think they are closer to the bottom of the standings than they are to the top right now.
Yeah, but I don't think he's as naive as everyone thinks. Like, I know he wants to win. Of course he wants. All these guys want to win, especially when you're at the level of what he's at. But I don't think he's so naive that he doesn't understand that, like, it's cyclical. And right now, the Warriors cycle had reached its pinnacle, and it's completely come down. And they kind of need a retinker here.
Like, a rebuild?
Well, I think a retinker is a rebuild. A reload is different to me.
Right. Because reloading is reloading for a championship. And that's what happens when you bring in a Paul George. That's my deficit. When you say reload, I'm thinking, okay, you're reloading with some big boys.
Yeah, I don't think a Paul George trade alone is enough. Like, they need bigger, more significant
moves.
We
don't even know if Paul George is going to be a fan.
Yeah, like, I know.
You know?
I mean, we're speculating
on all these guys. We don't know who's going to be available.
Like, I look at, there's two different examples, right? There's the Bulls, which everyone cites. Like, they've been terrible since Jordan left. Yeah, you're accurate, you know? And then there's teams like the Green Bay Packers, who moved off Aaron Rodgers. And a year and a half later, I think we all view the Green Bay situation way different than we did when they left. Like, when they left, everyone's like, they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league. They're going to be awful. Well, they hit on a lot of draft picks. And football's very different. I don't think it's a fair comparison. People can go to OKC. They move Paul George. And within 4 years,
are loaded. Right. Now, they've nailed a lot of picks. They did more than just move Paul George. They really, really bottomed out. But there's lots of examples in sports where teams have moved off seminal players, superstar players, and figured out some sort of a reload to set themselves up. Now, this is unique because it's Steph Curry. I'm not saying you trade Steph Curry. I'm saying I'd trade everything around him and reset it.
Well, here's the deal. Next year, the All-Star Game's coming here. It's going to be the Steph Curry All-Star Game. It's going to be his, like, crown jewel. He's going to be spotlighted.
He better not do what Barry did and not participate in the home run derby. Nah, he better participate in the three-point shootout.
He will. It's already done. Him, Sabrina, Caitlin Clark, Clay. Now, if Clay's in another uniform, that'd be interesting. I still think you bring Clay back to Shea Center and show him some love there.
Next question.
I also think maybe you bring Dame Dollar, who's from Oakland. This is a Bay Area All-Star game, not just San Francisco. There's going to be a lot of things happening in Oakland, California, a lot of things happening in the South Bay. So I think you bring Dame Dollar, you bring another player in, and you have a little 3-on-3. But it will be the Steph Curry All-Star game. And then after that, where are the Warriors at? Where are the Warriors going to be at by this time, by the All-Star break next year? Where are they going to be at as a team, as a franchise? They may be closer to having this conversation by the time the All-Star game comes around. And then after the All-Star game is done, and now you're thinking, okay, now we really have to think about the future. Because you can't trade Steph before the All-Star, obviously.
No, but look, we'll start with the setting. Nobody wants to trade Steph Curry. The question is is he okay with changing things around him? Remind me. What was it like for Dirk at the end? What was it like for Kobe at the end? What was it like for Tim Duncan at the end? Tim Duncan's team was more competitive, I think, than the other two.
Because they had Kawhi.
Yeah.
They had Kawhi. Dallas didn't really have that young stud.
At all.
And then Lakers didn't have that young stud.
But how frustrated was Kobe, and how acutely aware of his situation was he the final years? I don't remember.
Part of it was on Kobe.
He was aware. Remember, he would go on Jimmy Kimmel and they would show celebrating after a win, and it was their third win of the season, and Kobe's just blank staring we're celebrating about that? Really? Yeah. After our fifth win of the year?
He also cursed out Mitch Kupchak after practice. He certainly did. Going at him because, Mitch, this is all you got? Really? These dudes?
Yeah,
come on, man. These dudes are clouds.
Did he threaten leaving?
Never.
No. Okay,
that's also post-Achilles. No one, I think, was taking him, and he realized.
Gotcha.
He realized his own basketball mortality was happening.
He threatened to leave earlier in his career.
Yeah, the Clippers.
The whole Chicago thing and the Clippers thing. And, he was like,
I might go to Philly.
Memphis.
I might go to Memphis.
He threatened the Lakers a couple times.
Like, he was going to go to the Memphis.
Jerry West was over there.
So, what are you going to do with Steph? Where are the Warriors at? The state of the Golden State Warriors right now.
I just don't think Warrior fans are ready to concede that they're... Well, I think the majority of Warrior fans are not ready to concede that they're closer to the bottom than they are to the top.
No, I think... I don't know. Because I'm watching the West, man. These teams are here. How do you get more athletic? How do you get bigger? How do you get quicker? How do you get more athletic? Barkley was right. The only thing about getting old is that you just get older. And that's not good in the NBA.
Unless you're LeBron.
Right. Well, LeBron. And even LeBron had some moments yesterday where you could see, ooh, the age got him. Some missed layups. He barely got up on a dunk over Jamal Murray. I mean, seriously.
That was your takeaway on that play where he stripped Jamal Murray, went coast to coast, and yammed?
I mean, look at the verticality of that play. He barely got up and dunked
it. Did he score?
All I'm saying is he's showing his age, Shasky. Not about scoring. Get the jockstrap out of your mouth for a second here. He's a great player, for crying out loud. He's in God mode in the fourth quarter. But Jesus Christ, dude. The guy barely got up. Watch the play. Watch him getting up on a layup. You can't tell me he didn't show his age at times. He's even getting older. All these guys are getting older. You can't get older and win in the NBA.
No doubt, but I'm just saying, he's defied mortality. He's unbelievable.
Gene in Oakland, what's happening? Gene, what's up?
Morning, fellas. So whether Curry leaves or Curry stays, it's going to be up to Curry himself. They're not going to trade him. He's part of, he's the dynasty. I mean, he's the leader of the dynasty. So towards that end, we got to see what's he's going to be seeing. What's ahead? If this team keeps flipping up, then you got to ask the question, what's more important to him, winning that fifth ring or finishing out his career with the Warriors, no matter how bad they might be? So I'm going to put my bet on him wanting that fifth ring. So I think they need to build around him, and we need a legitimate number two, frankly, I would keep Wiggins. I think he's a legitimate number three, and he's worth the $26 million we pay him. But, you know, it may mean moving some of our young guys in order to not only have another shot, but in order to satisfy Curry so he decides to stay.
I wonder what is going through his head.
Yeah.
I wonder where he's at.
Well, he said in his interview presser, Shasky, he just wants to win.
Yeah.
He just wants to win. So what is that avenue to winning? I do think Joe Lacob's going to be very aggressive this offseason, exhausting all options. He does not want to sit courtside and watch a team win 40 games.
The owner wants to keep winning forever?
Yeah, he wants to keep winning forever. So that, well, but, I mean, you know, it sounds like generic, but...
No, he does.
In this situation, he doesn't want to take a step back.
No.
Some owners may say, you know what? I had a decade, 4 championships, 6 finals appearances. We got a new shiny building. We got the All-Star game here. We got March Madness here. We're good if we reset for 3 years and reload or rebuild or whatever words you want to use. But Joe Lacob never wants to do that.
I think the difference in this situation is because of how penal the luxury tax is and where they are financially. Saying. They're in a really tough spot because all of that is true, but it has to pencil. So, like, it's one thing if you're just making payroll and you're rolling along and all those things, but they have serious financial elements and dominoes. When you don't get into the playoffs, when you don't go deep, and you're not getting record-breaking money on a nightly basis because of these playoff home games, it doesn't pencil. And so then having that crazy luxury bill, it sounds easy to just pay off, but it's a lot harder. I mean, there's a lot of teams throughout the history of sports that have been unwilling and unable to finance their own roster and have had to sell pieces off. Florida Marlins come to mind. The Dodgers, when they had the other manager, the other owner before they had this one, the guy who had the parking lots. There's lots of different places you can point to. Jerry Reinsdorf started selling off players because he couldn't afford them.
I wonder, with Warrior fans, 888-957-9570, is it too premature to have this conversation? Is it premature to have, like, we talk about the crossroads with Golden State Warriors, and we're talking about a franchise icon here. Like, just thinking about it. Like, what is life going to be without Stephen Curry? I've never even brought myself to that point. Because I don't want to think about life without Stephen Curry. He makes all our lives better. He makes it more enjoyable. Makes our basketball viewing much more enjoyable. But the fact is, and the reality is that the Warriors may not be one or two moves away from a championship. They may be multiple moves. It may take multiple things to do. And that may trade some. And that may mean training some of the youngsters. It may trade Wiggins, letting Clay walk. I just don't know where they're going to start. Knowing the payroll is where it's at. Knowing they don't have picks in the future, knowing that you're getting older here, they don't even know who Moses Moody is going into his fourth season. It's just, this is a tough spot to be in. And so the reality is, what are you going to do here? What is a move that's going to make it in? When does Steph Curry just say, you know what? We got to make something shake. We got to make something shake. Maybe send me to Charlotte for my last 2 years. I don't know. He's always talked about going to play at home. I know it sounds crazy, but he's always talked about it. That's why I brought it up.
He'd be in the playoffs if he went to Charlotte right now. Guaranteed they'd be in the Eastern Conference
playoffs. Well, the one thing I keep thinking about, and everyone's like, well, they'll be better next year, and they would have been in this seed if this, and this happened. And they're not wrong when you play that game. But what if that's his last play-in game? Like, the play-in games were his last playoff game. I would be shocked.
Yeah, I would be shocked, too.
But Kobe played his last playoff game, I believe, at 34.
Yeah, he didn't make the playoffs, what, his last 5 years?
34 years old?
In the year that the Lakers last made that playoffs, he was hurt.
Yeah.
Remember, they got one and done against the Spurs.
Yeah, Dwight but he Howard. Didn't play in that.
No. Because he tore his Achilles.
Against the Warriors, and then hit the free throw.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and then walked off.
God, he was amazing that year, too, putting the team on.
He was amazing in that game.
He was unbelievable.
I mean,
I did have Kobe 1 year of fantasy basketball. And I was disappointed when he didn't score 38. Remember that year where he was just like dropping 40 every game? It was like 40, 50, 60. He's like, damn. Literally carrying my... He was like the only player on my team that year. Led me to the playoffs and lost. But the reality sucks, doesn't it? Just having this conversation.
How do you guys think?
Like, I say honestly, this to my wife all the time when I look at my finances.
No.
The reality sucks, doesn't it?
Well, that sucks
had
too.
A really good couple years.
No. The IRS sucks.
IRS didn't hit me too hard this year. I was happy about that. No, but the reality that the Warriors are not in the playoffs, because although we're watching without any stress, I am jealous that these teams being in the playoffs. I'm sitting on the couch watching doubleheaders. I'm like, the last decade I've been covering playoff games, for crying out loud.
But in the words of Steve Kerr, that's not real.
It's not the real NBA.
That's not the real NBA. And
is this the real NBA? I'm wrapping my head around the reality that Draymond's getting older. Klay may be gone. Chris Paul sounds like he's not going to be back. Can you build around J.K.? There's a lot of pressure on J.K. going into the next season now, especially if you do move off the big three. Because as Charles Barkley said with the Lakers, there's always a scapegoat. Well, we have our own scapegoats with our fan base. We point the finger at certain players and certain coaches all the time. That's what we do in sports these days.
Who's the player that's good enough that you're pairing up with Steph Curry to where you believe it catapults them back, not considering the minor moves that would be made around it?
Is J.K. a player?
No.
Is he somebody on your team? He's not there yet?
No, I'm talking about the player you're acquiring. Is it Zion?
Yeah, and it's hypothetical. It could be Zion. It could be Giannis. It could be Embiid.
Yeah, we're playing the hypothetical game.
But I don't know if it's Zion because he can't stay healthy.
I'm not 100% convinced Steph and Giannis solves everything.
Another guy that can't stay healthy.
Right? You know, Embiid and Steph. But, like, it would be great. It would be awesome. But I think you need way more than that.
Yeah, I do. I do. I do. It's so, the variables, there's too many variables to even think about what team you could possibly roster. Who's going to be available as a 3-and-D guy? Who's going to be available as just a spot-up three-point shooter? Who's going to be available as a backup point guard? Are you willing to give the keys to Pods right now as a full-time backup point guard? That's what we're talking about here, folks.
Well, if you put him as a backup point guard, okay. But to be alongside Curry to start games, like, to me, they have some defensive issues. I don't think he's a good enough perimeter defender to offset Curry's weaknesses in those areas. Curry's going to become, you know, stagnant on defense, or he's going to tick down? What do you think over the next couple of years? He's going to tick down a little.
Yeah, he
did. He's older. I mean, well, that's just, it's natural. So you're going to have to get a young thoroughbred out on that perimeter to play opposite him. That's the number one thing. Yeah. And then I start going around the league. How many of those guys exist? Then how many of those guys that exist are available in trade?
Exactly.
That you can legitimately go swing on.
And you need some bigs. Because let's be real, if you want to get back to the mountaintop, you're going through Denver. First and foremost, and they got a Jokic problem. They have Aaron Gordon, and they have Michael Porter Jr., and they have Jamal Murray. And then you have to go through Minnesota, and they have Kathmandu, and they've got the Stifle Tower, and they got Nasri, and they got Anthony Edwards. Then if you want to look at OKC, Chet Holmgren's going to hit a weight room. They have Jalen Williams, and they have SGA, and they have Josh Giddey, who's a big guard. Then you got the Clippers with all their versatility. You got Luka, who's a big boy. I mean, you got to get bigger. You need a wing. You need like four players.
But this is where I go back to, and you're asking about all the different things. To me, I would have the legitimate conversation with Steph. You're sitting down and you're saying, look, this is the blueprint over the next couple of years. I get it. You're going to be frustrated. But by year three, we will be where Oklahoma City, like that's just what you're selling him on something like this. We'll be in that zone of where these younger teams are, the Pelicans, Oklahoma City. And that's an egregious one because they were awesome this year. And you'll be that sixth man off the bench or that third scorer on that team, and you can have your Jason Terry-like run with that team in the playoffs. You could still get there and be a big, big part of it, right? Just because, and I think everyone's vision of Steph competing for the next one is he's A1, A2, right? Or whatever, A1, you know, 1B. What if he's, like, again, you're James Posey off the bench. I'm just Jason Terry off the bench. You're Ray Allen off the bench. What if he's in that role where he's already excelled at points in his career coming off the bench?
Yeah, but he's not there yet. He's not Jason Terry yet.
I mean, I think although we're closer to that than him carrying this team with a bunch of moves around it.
No doubt.
He's your number one that we're banking on.
Yeah, no doubt. But I'm not saying he's that's a little crazy. Well,
he's better than all of those players
with. No doubt. He's still a
top ten
player in this league.
If there's
He did struggle post All-Star break.
Yeah, but if there's one guy I'm betting on who can age gracefully, play well with others and play well off the bench if his role does change. It would be someone like Steph Curry.
Yeah, it would be, but we're not there yet with Steph. We're not there. Like the bench talk. Let's pause that. I'm projecting down the line. I hear you. 3 years from now, maybe 2 years down.
Like everyone's talking about, like, win a fifth in the next year or two. That doesn't feel plausible.
No, it doesn't.
I'm trying to win the fifth.
But also, with this cap,
3 years down the line.
With this cap, when we say something about Giannis, you're probably going to be back in the luxury tax. And I know Joe Lacob, he'd be willing to do that for Giannis, no doubt about it. For the right move, he'd be willing to do that for. But now you're into the repeater tax. Now you're into the second apron. Now you're into all those.
Now your ancillary moves outside of Giannis are very difficult. You can't attach first-round picks. You lose first-round picks.
There you go. Second apron, first apron.
But this goes back to the money, and I'm telling you, man, if I was running things, and I know no one wants to hear this, I would have the hard conversation with Steph. You're going to make $65 million in a couple of years per year. We have to hollow this out financially and reset. We need a cupboard of draft picks.
So you're asking Steph
to take one on the chin for a year or two. Yeah. And you might alienate him.
Good to the calls in just a second. On the other side, Samita, BPA, hang tight. We'll get there. Let's go to the injury report right now.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
After missing the Clippers game 1 win against the Mavericks, Kawhi Leonard's listed as questionable for tonight's game with knee inflammation. Clippers went through a walkthrough yesterday. Kawhi did participate, though the practice did not include any serious physical contact, so it's unknown just how ready Kawhi will be when tip-off comes around tonight. Game 2 of that series tonight, Mavericks and Clippers. Clippers blew out the Mavericks in game number 1. I'm expecting the Mavericks to bounce back, but Clippers, man, that pick and roll between Zubac and Harden really did the Mavericks in. Gafford didn't have an impact. Lively didn't have an impact. Let's see if the Mavericks can bounce back as Kyrie was visibly frustrated for the Dallas Mavericks. Should be a good game, too. Also, you got the Suns and the T-Wolves in game 2. That's going to be a lot of fun. These playoffs are hot right now. Injury report brought to you by Boxer Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm. Help big injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up in the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, Full Service Banking. No compromises. Your phone calls as we talk about the Warriors situation, the state of the Warriors. Also, we haven't touched on the draft much today. We'll get to that. We got the Giants. We got a lot going on here on the Rose on a Tuesday morning.